the Lord for the freedom of our land, but recognize that in many countries throughout the world today, the choice to follow Christ and receive Him and identify with Him in baptism and fellowship with Christians is a costly choice. We thank you, Father, for this day when the Word of God is going out through the printed page and through the radio waves and television and personal witness as never before. Father, we thank you for the age in which we live, the eve of the coming of our Savior. And we look forward to the day when He shall come and take us home to be with Himself. But till then, Lord, we thank you for the open doors of opportunity. And we're here this morning, Heavenly Father, to just review a small part of this great work which you are doing throughout the world today. We thank you for those here in this session and throughout the other sessions in the Convention Center, Lord, and pray for each and everyone who shares and each and everyone who listens. And we pray, Lord, that we may indeed discern your voice in our hearts. We thank you in our Savior's precious name. Amen. Amen. Let's just read a couple of verses from John chapter 17, please. John chapter 17. And while you're looking that up, I'm just going to read one very familiar verse from the Psalms. The word he spoke made an impact upon his hearers. We have a chorus in Spanish that we sing, Wonderful Words of Life. And it's a beautiful little chorus. And I won't sing it because I'm not a singer. But when we hear the word of God, it makes an impact upon our lives. And, of course, many of you could give testimony to the fact that when you heard the word of God, that changed your life. And just before we refer to some of these reports, I'd just like to share three little stories. And one is of a Guatemalan lawyer who was absolutely disillusioned with life and was ready to take his life. In fact, he left his town. He was walking down the road to the bridge over the river. He was going to go onto the bridge and throw himself into the river and end it all. And a humble Quiche Indian was crossing the bridge. And he crossed over the bridge. He met this lawyer, and he handed him a gospel tract. This happened in the 1940s. And that lawyer sat down on a rock by the edge of the river, and he read the tract. He was saved. And he went home. And he became one of the greatest composers of gospel hymns in Latin America, Alfredo Colon. And his hymns are the favorite hymns that we sing in our assembly in Bucaramanga. And later on, he became a singer, and he toured Colombia and Latin America, singing the gospel and witnessing on his way. A humble Indian who gave a gospel tract and saved a life for Christ. A Colombian young man was in the priesthood in Medellin, Colombia, and he was assigned to a church in Peru. And as some of you know, HCJB, Heralding Christ Jesus Blessings, which broadcasts from Quito, Ecuador, has become an instrument of many Catholic priests and nuns to learn of the gospel of Christ. They would never go into a Protestant church or an evangelical church, perhaps, and would never identify with Christian people, but in their own office or room, they will listen to the gospel. And this young man was transferred to Peru. And he began to listen to the gospel through HCJB. And the custom in Latin America is on All Saints Day, which is our Halloween, the people go to the cemeteries in mass. And they'll go and stand before the grave of their loved one, and the priest will come along and they'll pray for the soul of the loved one who's buried there. And, of course, to the intent that the person will be relieved of 100 or 500 or 1,000 years out of purgatory, right, because of the prayers of the priest. Well, this humble woman, once a week, they would not eat. And the money that they saved from that day's food, she put in a little bag. And she saved it until Halloween, or All Saints Day. And she would take it to the cemetery, and she would take this little bag of money, and she would stand before the grave of her husband and wait for the priest to come. And the priest came along, and it was just about late afternoon, ready to go home. And the priest came along, and the woman gave the bag of money to the priest and asked the priest to pray for the soul of her husband in purgatory. Well, this priest had been listening to the gospel through HCJB, and he began to be bothered about this doctrine of purgatory. He couldn't find it in his Roman Catholic Bible or anywhere. And he realized that, really, do these people really get out of purgatory because of my prayers or not? And he began to be very troubled about it. And here's this humble peasant woman giving her 52 meals worth of coins to this priest, and he put them in his pocket, and he prayed in front of the grave of this poor woman's husband. And after he was finished praying, the woman looked into the priest's face and says, "Now, Father, is my husband at last out of purgatory?" And the conscience of that priest struck him, and he says, "Ma'am, I don't know." He took the bag of money out of his pocket, put it back into the hands of the widow, and he went to the Baptist pastor's house. And after 2 years of 2 hours of praying and talking with that man, that priest became a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. The next day, he went to his bishop, and he told him what happened. The bishop defrocked him. He was out of the church, and he is a tremendous witness throughout Latin America to the power of the Word of God in his life. And then the third little incident I just heard over the internet. I don't know if any of you who are on the internet get Intercessors Network. Anybody familiar with Intercessors Network? My brother Jim. Okay, Intercessors Network is a prayer information chain from Switzerland, a brother from Switzerland, and it has tremendous requests for prayer. And one recent was for a man who is in a Muslim country who decided to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he went home, his father-in-law forcibly made him divorce his wife, never see his children again, and he knew that that was going to be part of his cost of receiving Christ as his Savior. So the gospel makes a tremendous impact on people, and even though in our country we might not see such costly results of receiving the Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ's words are still true, and I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. As a young person in high school, my desire was to learn the Word of God more deeply, more systematically. I grew up in the same assembly as Uncle Dave Stifler, who many of you know, and my desire was to go to Emmaus Bible School after high school. I was saved just before going into high school through the testimony of Stephen Olford, who was the son of Mrs. Bessie Olford, who was the first missionary from Blaisdell Gospel Chapel. And Stephen was on his way to Wheaton College to be the spiritual life conference speaker for the kickoff of the semester, the school year. And he stopped to meet the people from his mother's commending assembly, Blaisdell Gospel Chapel. And that night, 2 weeks before I went into high school, I was saved, even though I'd gone to Sunday school for 8 years with Uncle Dave. And I was saved that night. And all through high school, we had a Bible class at noon hour. We had a lunch together, carried our Bibles on our books, and had a witness at high school. And my desire was to learn the Word of God more, and I wanted to go to Emmaus. And Ken Brooks told me that one way to get to Emmaus was to work your way through by being the janitor. So I applied for the janitor job and got into Emmaus that way. And those were the years when Dr. Harlow had come home from Africa, and he'd begun to write Bible correspondence courses. The mimeograph machine is still at Dubuque, Iowa, in the hallway if you want to see it, right? But in 1956, when Joan and I were in the Bahamas for 3 years during our first missionary term, Dr. Harlow had 500 What the Bible Teaches. Here it is in English, What the Bible Teaches. He had 500 of these printed for 10 missionaries in Spanish, and he had them printed in Cuba, of all things. And they were sent to 10 different missionaries working in Latin America. Well, Ron Harris responded to Dr. Harlow's challenge to distribute the courses in Latin America. And Ron Harris, a third-generation missionary, and now his children are also working with him in Mexico, began to publish courses in Mexico and print them in Mexico. And he is still the main regional director for Spanish courses in Mexico. But Charlie Fizer is the director of the International Correspondence School for the Emmaus Bible School Correspondence Courses, and he sent me quite a sheaf of papers here with regarding to regional directors. There are now about 150 regional directors for the Emmaus Bible School Correspondence Courses. Now, I've tried to put some of them on the board with these little pegs. The dark blue ones, the bigger pegs, are the people who responded to me on email, okay? And the other smaller ones are some of the other regional directors of the Emmaus Correspondence Courses throughout the world. There are about 1,000 people involved in distributing Emmaus Bible School Correspondence Courses around the world. 150 directors, about 50 other related helpers, and 30 more people who help them in correcting courses. But it's very interesting that the Emmaus Bible School Correspondence Course Ministry is now in its 57th year. Charlie Fizer is the present director. And this year they have distributed over 900,000 courses.
That's a lot of literature. 900,000 courses, bordering on a million. We are not a small ministry. We are an army of people out there throughout the world, ringing the globe with the Word of God being sent out through these offices. We are in 90 different countries. We are in 120 different languages. And some people have very large ministries. Jim Gillette in Ireland has a very large correspondence ministry. Anybody who's been over there and helped Jim Gillette? Hey, you might do that next summer. They have a tremendous ministry in Northern Ireland. There's a brother from Germany, Martin Vetter, who has a tremendous ministry from France, sending the courses into French-speaking African countries. And they have a very large ministry. Anybody ever heard of Phil Wagner from Set Free Prison Ministries? Okay. A number of you have. Phil has begun a ministry in Moscow and other places in Russia. And I wasn't able to get a report from him. He is back in Los Angeles right now. Our co-worker, Dick Gerald, just went into three prisons with them last week, preached the gospel for 3 days in three different prisons in the Southern California area. And then there's another brother who extensively uses Emmaus courses by the name of Al Pollard. Pollard. In, where is he? Where's Pollard? Portugal. Good. All right. He started out on the radio years ago in Portugal in the 50s, and he had to leave the country because of the fanatical Catholicism in Portugal, but then a dictator took over, and they were able to re-enter the country, and actually the evangelicals had more freedom under the dictator in Portugal than they had under the former government, which was Roman Catholic. However, now he is not on the radio in Portugal, but he's on the Internet. And he's gone to the 21st century. He's on the Internet, and they have about 1,000 requests for the course, or inquiries about the course, or visitors on their Internet and their website every month, and about 50 requests for the courses every month. So they're very busy taking care of people in Portugal. In India, there are at least 50 workers who are distributing Emmaus Bible School correspondence courses, national workers, because I don't think we have any American missionaries in India anymore. We still have some European-Canadian missionaries there, but I don't believe that we gringos are welcomed in India anymore, right? Some of you may know, now we're going to go kind of from North America down to the tip of South America, and then we're going to skip over to the southern part of Africa, to South Africa and Zambia, and then we're going to go up to Europe, and eventually we're going to end in the Philippines. And that's where Ken's going to take over, right? At 11:30, hopefully. We give it to him at 11:30. So let's just have a little brief review of what's going on in the world of radio and Bible correspondence courses. The Family Bible Hour. How many are familiar with the Family Bible Hour? Arnett McEntee's ministry from St. Catharines, Ontario, and Ron Hughes is now in charge of the Family Bible Hour. There's a little leaflet here. I just want to read one little report. The October 31st report says, Russia continues to be on the minds here. Recent acts of terrorism, along with harsh weather, continuing economic woes, and religious confusion, should keep us on our knees on behalf of the Russian people. Please remember our listeners in Russia. Pray that God will use the follow-up book, Key Bible Concepts, to bring many to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember our volunteers in Russia as they give their time to pack and ship these books. Now, the Radio Bible Hour is in has 65 programs a week throughout the world on 50 different stations and in 16 languages. It's a tremendous ministry that our brother Arnett McEntee has developed over the years, and our brother Ron Hughes, who was a missionary in Peru for many years, has assumed to do there in southern Ontario, out of St. Catharines. Pray for them. That's a tremendously vital ministry. They must pay for the radio time on the stations in which they are involved. And that's 50 stations. How many of you know of Mariana Gonzalez from Chicago? Okay. Now, in contrast to Radio Bible Hour, Mariana Gonzalez doesn't pay a cent to put his programs on the radio, because he sends his tapes to local missionaries and they're responsible for getting them on the radio in their areas. We use Mariana Gonzalez's messages in Spanish in Bucaramanga. Evangelical Publications, Pat Long is with us here at the conference. Pat is I think, president of Evangelical Publications, which Dr. Harlow started many years ago, providing the Word of God in simple English for new readers, especially. And also has written a series of courses on the Pentateuch, and other books which we have incorporated in our Emmaus Bible School Correspondence Ministry in Bucaramanga. They are now approved as Emmaus-credited courses, and we use their books in Bucaramanga. Now, since 1991, the Lord has led Dr. Harlow and those involved with him in providing their literature, everyday publications, free of charge to missionaries in third world countries. That is a tremendous ministry. We can just send an order in to Art Robinson or Pat Long or Dr. Harlow for API, and they will send us all the books we want, free of charge. And we can sell them. And the money we get from them, of course, we just charge very little for them, but the money we get for them is our money to reinvest in our Emmaus work locally. That's a tremendous ministry. The Lord has really provided to his people for this ministry of everyday publications. It says here that they have 316,000 books, Bible study books, that they've sent out in the last 8 years. Just like to read one excerpt from a letter of appreciation that they got from one of the national workers to whom they are sending a set of 14 books in Spanish, and of course in African, Swahili, and other languages. Dr. Harlow's wife, Gertrude Harlow, has, as you, many of you know, translated the Bible, the Scofield Bible, with all its notes into Swahili, a tremendous marathon project that she was able to do. And now their recent project is to send free of charge a packet of 14 Bible study books of the everyday publication booklets to national workers. And this is a letter from New Caledonia in appreciation for that. The books which you sent have been arriving, and I have received excited phone calls and heartfelt thanks from the people who have received them. They have been well received, and most are saying that they have already started reading the books and using them in their messages. And this is a quote from one of the national workers. I would also say for myself that you have contributed to these people far, far more than just the price and spiritual value of the books themselves. In giving like this to people you do not even know, just for the love of Christ, has been a tremendous testimony, an example of selfless, disinterested love and true biblical servant-like leadership. Money cannot buy such a thing, and I know that it has left a deep impression in the hearts of all of these men. A common series of questions was, how much do I owe you? Who are these people? Why did they give this to me? What are they going to get out of it? So these people are very appreciative. And those of you who minister and have fellowship in a practical way with everyday publications will never realize until we get to heaven the extent to which that literature has been a help to many, many people around the world. As I mentioned, Ron Harris, right in the middle of Mexico there in Tehuacan, Mexico, he is in charge of the printing and distribution of the Emmaus Bible School correspondence in Spanish. We don't print anything in Colombia. We get everything from Mexico. When he received those 500 books from Dr. Harlow, the What the Bible Teaches, he corrected it, but corrected the Spanish third-generation missionary, right? That's the way to learn Spanish, right? Be there for two generations. And gave him a quote as to what it would cost to publish the courses in Mexico. And so ever since then, he has become the distributor for Emmaus courses in Latin America. We have 36 titles in Spanish, besides other booklets that Ron Harris has written called Páginas Orientadores, Orienting Pages. And he has been able to be used of the Lord in this way. They continue to update the courses. All of our courses now have these beautiful covers on them. They didn't have such nice colored covers years ago. But every single one of the courses now have a beautiful colored cover, hard cover, and the print has also been changed to a very neat black and white print. And so they're very, very acceptable. And, of course, they're very, very cheap in Spanish. We only charge like 75 or 80 cents, 90 cents for an Emmaus Bible School correspondence course. In our office in Bucaramanga, we give a diploma for every 10 courses that they study. And then we give a little prize. And the first prize with the first 10 courses, which is equal to 1 year at Emmaus Bible School, it's equal to 1 year Bible study, we give a New Testament. With the second diploma, which is the second the 10 courses, for the 20 courses, we give a little Bible concordance. And then with the third, we give a Bible dictionary. So it's a motivation for people to study the courses. And we have people who have done all 36 courses. Plus, the second series of courses, which we have, are Source of Light. A Source of Light is from Georgia. It's not a Brethren outfit, but it's a very biblical outfit. It's probably bigger even than Emmaus internationally, and they publish their courses in many, many different languages. So in our office in Bucaramanga and also Barranquilla, where Ruby Campbell works, We use both Source of Light courses and Emmaus Bible School correspondence courses, along with the Everyday Publication bookers. So we pray for Ron. I think Ron is in his early 80s, but he's going strong, just like Dr. Harlow is. And the Lord is definitely using that ministry. Now, one of our fellow workers who was with us in Columbia for many years is Dick Yerl, Dick and Nancy Yerl. How many know the Yerls? Anybody know the Yerls? Okay, they're missionaries in Columbia, Bogota, and Bucaramanga. And the Yerls are now living and working in Los Angeles, south of Los Angeles, in Long Beach. And there are two booklets down here of their ministries, one in English and one in Spanish, Evangelical Ministries, Latino Evangelistic Ministerios. And Dick Yerl is from New Zealand. And they're working in the Spanish assemblies in the Los Angeles areas, actually working in four assemblies. And Dick also has a radio ministry and a prison ministry. And I'd just like to read a couple excerpts from his letter. At any one time, we have about 100 students studying the courses in Spanish, mainly from the Los Angeles area. Ariel Corral was contacted while in prison through Emmaus courses. On release, he joined us at Westminster Spanish Assembly. Since he has been with us for 6 months, his mother has been saved, and we have a study in her home. His cousin is right at the point of being saved, and Ariel's wife, Kathy, and mother-in-law, who were fanatically opposed as Roman Catholics, have just made a decision for Christ. The mother-in-law was hospitalized due to a heart problem, and the two were challenged by a Christian group that was visiting the hospital to receive the Lord, and the two prayed to receive Christ. Ariel and his mother live near Gardena, and we trust that this may become the basis of a Spanish work in Gardena. We have a radio ministry called the Biblia Abierta, the Open Bible, which Dick has on every Monday night at 10:30. And as a result of the Bible, of the radio program, a man called in who was in the Nicaraguan government many years ago and received the Lord in prison through the Emmaus courses. This man was in prison because he denounced some corruption in the Nicaraguan government. And so the president wouldn't put up with that, and he put him in jail. And he eventually ended up in Los Angeles, and he is now part of one of the Spanish fellowships that Dick is working with in Los Angeles. So the Word of God has a definite power in the lives of men. These men who are behind prison, by the way, lots of time on their hands, right? They have lots of time to study. And some of them really, when they come to Christ, they really make use of the time. We have about 200 prisoners in Bucaramanga that are studying the courses, about 100 active students. And last Thursday, the fellows from the assembly went into the prison on a special visit. They go every Wednesday afternoon. But they arranged to have a special meeting on Thursday. And on Thursday, they went in with 100 packages, plastic bags of calendars, toothbrushes, toothpaste, notebooks, pencils, practical things that the prisoners can use. And many of those prisoners are guerrillas. As you know, it's a nice, peaceful scene in Colombia, right? There's a guerrilla warfare going on, two main guerrilla groups, one of them which hijacked a plane out of Bucaramanga back in April. And many of you prayed for Grace Murillo. She is released, and she testified at a missionary conference the end of November in Bogota. Tremendous testimony of how the Lord kept her during those 2.5 months of being kidnapped by the guerrillas in Colombia. But 15 of those people from that plane are still being held for ransom. And these two guerrilla groups are going through peace talks, supposedly, with the government right now. So do pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and remember the peace of Colombia, too, right? So pray for Jerusalem. It's a bad scene in Colombia. The Dominican Republic, there's been a printing press through Ian Rathi and Edith House and others in the Dominican Republic for many years, 39 years of ministry, and there's a Colombian Dominican brother involved in that right now. And their main work is gospel tracts and Daily Vacation Bible School materials. The Daily Vacation Bible School work in Dominican Republic in Spanish, of course, is a tremendous work. They have thousands of kids in Vacation Bible School every year. And they develop their own materials, and of course it's available for other missionaries as well. We personally work with Marcia Vanderlyn in Bucaramanga, and she is the regional director for Colombia, along with Ruby Campbell, who is in Barranquilla. How many know Ruby Campbell from Canada? Anybody? Ruby goes into the prisons, into the men's prison, too, twice a week. And she is a real fixture in Barranquilla. She has a little office, and Marcia is in Bucaramanga. We, Joan and I, share an apartment with Marcia and share the ministry with her, and she is the regional director for Colombia. Her last report was we have sent out 360,000 courses in Colombia over the years, and about half of them have been completed. If you have a 45 to 50% completion rate in Emmaus correspondence courses, that's pretty good. Some countries do have that much.
The number of active students at the present time is about 3,000, and the number of active students in our Source of Light, the mailbox courses from Georgia, is about 400. So this keeps us busy in Bucaramanga. We have a full-time worker, Pedro Sanchez, and his wife, Claudia Sanchez, and her sister who work with us in the Emmaus office in Bucaramanga. So we're down to Colombia, right? And we continue down to Chile. Now, I don't know this brother, but he sent me an excellent report. His name is David Jones. Anyone know David Jones? Good. All right. A number of you know David Jones. Okay. David Jones has a tremendous ministry in Chile. He publishes a children's paper called Palabras de Amor, Words of Love. He also prints a seed sower track, the beautiful Gospel John 3:16 track. And he said that even when they saw a documentary, just a regular TV documentary on the prison work, in a couple of the cells, they could see behind the person being interviewed their text there on the wall. Their main ministry is a radio ministry. They have had 39 uninterrupted years of their radio program, Palabras de Vida, Words of Life. That's tremendous. Remember that Chile went through the Allende years? The dictatorship that was now in England or Spain trying to get extradite him to back to Chile for trial. Anyway, Chile is the only country that has not permitted communism in their ranks, and that's because of the hard hand that Allende had in his years. Naturally, many people disappeared, and of course he's being called on the carpet for human rights violations, but all through those years of Allende's dictatorship in Chile, the gospel was never interrupted on the radio. They had 39 uninterrupted years on the radio. That's quite a testimony to the gospel. And then besides that, they have developed a tremendous Sunday school program, Sunday school materials in Chile. And they're on the radio every day, and they have these Sunday school programs, and you can download their Sunday school lessons from your computer and use them in your local Sunday schools. Now, how about that? That's really modern, right? Notice this. I'd just like to read this one excerpt that he said. Recently, the release time of the radio program was changed to noon, and when a bus line initiated their run between Monte Patria and Santiago, about 7 hours of traveling, they made inquiries among the townspeople to find out what programs they listened to. They wanted to put their ads for their bus line on the radio announcing their service at a time when most people were listening. They discovered we enjoyed a very high listenership and approached us to see if we could include a reference to their bus line in the middle of the program and even offered to share in the expenses. We thought it best to turn down their request, but it is comforting to know of the coverage we have. Not only does the town listen, but the signal penetrates into the mountainous valleys, and approximately 60 towns depend on this radio station for their information. We thank God for the opportunity to make Christ known. That's a very unusual request, right? Have a bus line advertised right in the middle of what the Bible teaches, right? And then, of course, last but not least is Brazil. And Warren and Linda Brown, anybody know the Browns? Oh, good, okay. We have some real missionary-oriented people here with us today. Use what the Bible teaches. They send out about 1,000 courses a year, and they have about 30 to 40 active students at the present time, but this is increasing. And we have four brothers who have evangelistic radio programs, and the Browns are actively involved in the use of the Emmaus Bible School correspondence courses. Okay, let's go to South Africa. The first person who answered me on the email was John and Eleanor Sims, South Africa. And the Sims also have an Emmaus ministry. They are working in the Shona language and English in South Africa, and they have distributed about 40,000 Emmaus courses, and at the present time have 4,000 active students. That's a lot of active students, 4,000 active students, and they have 6,000 prisoners who have received the Emmaus course. So when I went into the prison recently, it says we were invited to a meeting of the Prison Rehabilitation Fellowship and were interested to hear the chairman say in his opening remarks that he once was a prisoner in Zimbabwe's maximum security prison and started studying the Bible with the help of the Emmaus courses, which led to his salvation. He gave testimony to the many blessings he had received through the studies, and we praise God for the wonder of his working. In Colombia, we say it's nice to have a palanca. You know what a palanca is? Leverage, okay? Nice to have somebody you know in high places, okay? And especially if you're trying to get into a prison, it's nice to have the prison director, a former Emmaus student, okay? So you know you're sure you get in. Zimbabwe, Robert and Heather Harris also have a ministry in Luanda, Luvale, and English. And it says, greetings from the beautiful Chico
Chitokoloki on the banks of the Zambezi River. They have given Emmaus courses to the teachers in the local school, and two of those teachers just this past year have received the Lord, government school. One of those teachers in training, early last year, a young school teacher in training was posted to Chitokoloki, and he assured us that he was a Christian in the Catholic Church and was enthusiastic about his Emmaus studies, although it was obvious that he had a lot to learn. Donald had a harrowing experience one morning at 5:30 when he went down to the river to draw water, because the water looked so inviting and he decided to have a swim and came face to face with a huge crocodile. He has no idea how he got out to shallow water, but somehow got to his feet on the firm ground and away from it. And then Bud and Marie McDonald, McDougal, have a ministry in Kenya and Uganda. They have a print shop a half a mile from their home, and they print thousands of tracts which go all over Kenya and Uganda. And especially some of these tracts are on adultery, the second death, and how to avoid AIDS. As you know, many of you know, in Uganda and Kenya, those countries, Rwanda, AIDS is rampant, and many, many children innocently and unjustly suffer from AIDS. My time is up. We haven't even got to Europe, but we can go across France and Russia and Burma and end up in the Philippines. And I'm just going to stop, except I'm going to read one excerpt from Dick Papworth's letter, who ministers to what country?
Iran.
Okay. He had to leave Iran in 1979, but they have a radio ministry from Europe and from Asia. And I'd just like to read this excerpt. Our radio programs are focused on evangelizing Iranian Muslims, who make up about 98% of Iran's population. Many of them continue to be very open to hearing the gospel. God has used a relative nominalism and disillusionment with Islam to open their hearts to hear the truth about Christ. There are millions of sincere seekers in the country, and our programs are reaching some of them with the gospel. One story concerns a truck driver who was extremely discouraged with life and Islam. One night he was driving his truck across the Iranian desert. He was so depressed that he was seriously considered committing suicide by driving his truck off the edge of a cliff. However, just before he did this, something moved him to turn on the radio in his truck. He happened to pick up one of our programs in his language. The program explained what Christ could do in his life. He pulled over to the side of the road, got out, and fell on his knees. In tears, he confessed his sin and put his trust in Christ. Later, he wrote to tell us what had happened and thanked us for that one program that had reached him during his moment of great need. This reinforces that each and every program is so very important, and that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. We also use some of our programs to teach and disciple Christian believers who are scattered around the country. It is not unusual for a Muslim convert Christian to think that he or she is the only Iranian who has ever become a Christian. That is because they have never known another Christian and have no opportunity at all for fellowship with other Christians. So we feel a great responsibility to teach and encourage these isolated believers. Pray for Dick Papworth and his wife as they continue this tremendous and vital radio ministry. Okay, Ken?
Cheers.
Thank you, Carl. We're going to change tack just a little bit. We are talking about evangelistic communication methods that work. I'd like to preface my sharing this morning by saying it's not so much the method that you use that brings people to Christ. It's not so much the methodologies that we get involved in that bring people to Christ. The Lord can and He will use all kinds of methods to reach people for Himself. And He has used all kinds of methods to reach people for Himself. All methods might not work for you or for your assembly. And there's several factors that you need to consider when you're looking for a way to communicate the gospel to your neighborhood, a way to communicate the gospel to those around you. There's several factors, I think, that we need to consider. And one of those factors is your own personality. That may often determine the method which will be best suited for you in proclaiming the gospel. And God does and will use all kinds of personalities.
He will use the extreme extrovert, and he will use the introvert, depending on the methodologies in which you use to present the gospel of Jesus Christ. Sometimes we are really taken back by those extroverts who really have the power and the tremendous spiritual gift for evangelism and get out there and share the gospel. And sometimes we are threatened by them and feel like we cannot do that kind of work. And perhaps you cannot do that kind of work. But that doesn't mean the Lord doesn't have a work for you in a way that you can communicate the gospel to those who are around you. Your location may determine the kind of method that you choose to employ. If you're living in a nice, quiet neighborhood somewhere in suburban America, it's probably not a good idea to put a loudspeaker system on the roof of your car and go around proclaiming the gospel. I mean, that's been effective and it's worked, but it's probably going to get you in a lot of trouble. So the area in which you live, your location is going to determine some kind of method in which you will use. Yet you may find that many other forms of evangelism might be really effective in that quiet area. And you need to do your homework and find out what will work. So when we speak of evangelistic communication methods that work, we are spanning a tremendous wide range of methodologies that will work in different areas under different circumstances. And we need to be aware of those things and avail ourselves of those things. We see the street evangelists, and we have some here with us over this conference. Folks from the Ezekiel Project, and they do a tremendous work downtown New York. I see them using their sketchboards. But contrary to what some might say, it isn't for everyone. Now, everyone can do it, but it isn't for everyone to get out and be able to communicate the gospel in that way. Some are tremendously effective with that method. But if you feel led for that kind of method, you should get involved and try and use that method for the glory of Christ. Some are very comfortable with it. In the Philippines, I have been tempted to try it in several of the squatter areas because I can gather a pretty large crowd in some of the squatter areas using a sketchboard because they're kind of sitting around with not a whole lot to do. I've used it in the open air on several occasions, and it is a very effective method of communicating the gospel. Because not only are you preaching the Word of God, and they're hearing it, but they're also visualizing it. And so it has been a tremendous, effective method to communicate the gospel. And it's been used to the saving of many souls. I've spoken in the open air in the Philippines on several occasions, and I have found that to be a tremendously rewarding time. Now, radio has been used for years in the Philippines as well. We've spoken a little bit about radio this morning. Radio has been used as a tremendously effective medium of communicating the gospel in the Philippines over the years, both to the Filipino people and to Asia at large through the Far East Broadcasting Corporation, which many of you are familiar with. When Cyril Brooks returned to the Philippines after World War II, they had been involved in radio work before that time, but after they came back, he wanted to see that radio work continue and began preaching again over the radio. And so he was back on the air over FEBC, and then early in 1950, Emmaus sent him a copy of the What the Bible Teaches courses, course in Manila while he was there. And the desire to see this course made available became a passion of Cyril Brooks's heart. And he began a translation work, and that work has been, the Emmaus course, What the Bible Teaches, has been translated into Tagalog and into several other of the languages in the Philippines. And that gave birth kind of to the radio, the Bible School of the Air, which began in 1950. It's actually going to be celebrating its 50th anniversary coming up here real soon. The Emmaus correspondence work in the Philippines has seen 1,900,000 plus courses go out. It is the first overseas use of the Emmaus correspondence work. It has to date over 220,000 completions of courses. Tremendously effective work. And as it's gone out over the radio and people have written in for courses, we've made those courses available. Aunt Rose Brooks, who kind of manages the office there in the Philippines to date. I don't know how many of you know Aunt Rose. She's kind of a quiet individual. You won't see her standing out anywhere. But I'll tell you what, she is a warrior for the things of God. That woman works, she'll get up sometimes, you'll see her light go down in the office at 4 o'clock in the morning. By 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock at night, she's still there. And I asked her one time, I said, Aunt Rose, you need to really slow down and take it easy. She said, I don't know when the Lord's coming back, and I want to use every available hour for him and for his glory. So be praying for people like that who are out really giving of themselves for the work of the Lord. Now, all the typesetting and everything for our Emmaus courses now in the Philippines is being done locally by our staff there. The covers, everything is being printed there. We're using all the computers that Radio Bible Class is actually supplied to the Bible School of the Air office in the Philippines. And they're doing all their own typesetting there now. They're doing all their own covers on the computers. And so it's really made things very nice. Actually, the last group of what the Bible teaches in English that we've done, we had to do in the Philippines and have them printed in the Philippines because it is getting really kind of expensive now through customs to get them in from the States to import them as we had been doing in the past. So be praying for that. We'd rather be able to just import them instead of having to print them there as well as we print all the other courses there. All the papers have been upgraded, and the qualities of the books, as you'll see them here on the table, are really a good quality. Again, it's a ministry that depends really on the Lord for its efforts. And we'd appreciate your prayers for that. It's really a very small staff in the office in Manila that handles all of this load of work. If you went into the office in Manila, you'd kind of be surprised at the small staff that carries on just a tremendous work for the Lord. And out of that small office, also the radio Bible class material flows. This past Christmas, they've gone through 505,000 daily breads. And all those flows through that office. And we have several examples up here of the daily bread that goes through there. We have the yearly publication for Tagalog. We put the whole daily bread into a yearly thing. This is an effort of Dave Harvey. Really did a fine job. And then we have another daily bread that is only printed in the Philippines. Actually, there's two that are only printed in the Philippines now. And one is dealing with or has the scripture texts that are right in the booklet itself. And then we have this last one at the end, which I'm particularly fond of. It's only printed in the Philippines. This is the second year they're doing this. It's the daily bread, but it's also a journal that they attach to it. And so as they're reading through the scripture text, they have some place to write down any of their personal notes for future reference. Now, I found, going back to communication, evangelistic communication methods that work, home Bible study for me has really been the most effective in the Philippines. I have been convinced in the Philippines, as many of my brothers who have labored there, my sisters that have labored there, that the Filipino people very often will say yes to anything they think you want them to say yes to. And so what I mean by that is sometimes if you just come up with a presentation and you present the gospel and you say to them, would you like to receive Christ? Their mind is thinking, he wants me to say yes. So they'll say yes. Whether they really understand what you've presented or whether they really believe what you've presented or not, oftentimes they will say yes just out of politeness. They'll even pray just out of politeness. But no change takes place in their lives. And so I have found that it's been most effective in the Philippines to communicate the gospel via Bible study where you take several weeks and lead them through a study, several weeks of presentation of the gospel. So that when you get through the entire course, now they understand what they're getting into. Now they understand the implications of what they're accepting. And the conversions, those who receive Christ after a time like that, tend to stay around longer because they've understood. And that's the method that I am most comfortable with myself. I say that there are a lot of methods that you can use. That method works best for me. That may be a method that you can use. Many of you are using. Maybe you can use it in your college dorm rooms. Maybe you can use it in your churches and your Bible study groups in your neighborhood. It's an effective way to reach people for Jesus Christ. I've just recently started using the foundations work that's done by New Tribes Mission, where they begin and begin right at the beginning of Genesis and begin to present the gospel right there and move all the way through the Old Testament into the New Testament and then share the gospel. And I began using that just this last term in the Philippines, and I am finding that it's really been effective for these people. Where they're getting groundwork and understanding as to why they need the gospel. See, the Philippines, as South America, is a tremendously Catholic country. It is hugely Catholic. Very strong Roman Catholic. And so, to give them a basis as to why they need Jesus Christ has been tremendously effective, and I'm thankful for that. Then again, of course, there's the personal friendship kind of evangelism that many of us use. It's very important to be out into the world, sharing the gospel, being in the workplace, letting your light shine where you are. Many opportunities for fellowship, for friendship, evangelism, and I hope that we're all doing that. Making contacts with those at work, those at school, those in our neighborhood, with our neighbors. Getting out into the community where people see you and where you can have an impact in their lives, sharing in their lives. Tract distribution is another way in which we communicate the gospel. Many of you have used tracts for many years. We have used tracts in the Philippines in many, many ways. Simply to just spread the word. Get the seed out there. Water the seed by the use of a tract. We've been hearing some stories about tract distribution. Never underestimate the value of handing out a tract. You may hand out 100,000 tracts, and out of those 100,000, you may have one that comes to know Christ as Savior. But praise God for the one who came to know Christ through the distribution of those tracts. In the Philippines, we have a lot of pilgrimages that take place from one town to another. We have some that take place. They leave Manila, and then they take a pilgrimage all the way up into Antipolo to the church in Antipolo. By doing so, they're promised safety as they travel for the year. I don't know how well it works. There's an awful lot of people on the road. And during that time, groups from Faith Academy and other places will get together, a large group of students, and they'll just stand on the side of the road handing tracts to hundreds of people as they go by. And the Word of God is getting into their hands. We won't know the fruit of that until eternity. But I guarantee you there's fruit as the Word of God is being proclaimed. And with a lot of those courses, a lot of those tracts that we hand out, we have identification cards in them for the Emmaus Correspondence work. Offering a free Emmaus Correspondence course, a free What the Bible Teaches for anyone who sends in. And we always code them so they all know at the office that this was that tract distribution that took place down in Kogyo. This was that tract distribution that took place out in Pangasinan. This was that tract distribution that took place in such and such an area. So that they can correlate all of those cards, give them back to us, so that we know who's responded, so then we can follow up and visit. And see how they're doing, see if they've enjoyed the course. And of course, it opens up a door for the sharing of the gospel. There's one thing about the Philippines, I think Harold would agree with me in this. There's one thing about the Philippines that I can go down into Kogyo, the areas that we work, down in Pinofrancha, and the very, very poor areas down there. And I have never, ever, one time been refused at a door to share the gospel. You can't say that here in the United States. I know you can't. I have never gone to a door yet where I've knocked and shared, and where they said, "Oh, I'm not interested. I don't want to hear." They're open to the gospel. In many of those homes, if you said, "Well, I'd like to have a Bible study here. Would you like to have a Bible study?" They say, "Yeah." Again, maybe it's just because they know that's what I want them to say. But that's okay, as long as I get in the house and have a chance to share the gospel through a Bible study. And that's an effective. And so the tract distribution, it has been an effective way to reach people for Jesus Christ. Again, the results will vary. And we won't know the results of those distributions until glory. We often see little response to the tracts that we send out, don't we?
Don't become discouraged with that, my brothers and sisters. Don't become discouraged. Keep a pack of tracks in your pocket. Keep a pack of tracks in your car. Give them out at the toll booths. Give them out to people you go by that you may never see again. Leave them in the restrooms when you go, you know. I'm oftentimes encouraged. I go into a restroom, and there, standing where I need to stand, is a tract. I say, well, someone's been here interested in sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. You'll never know the fruit that that may bear. So don't lose heart. Continue to work. If that's an effective way of communicating the gospel for you, then use it for His glory. Use it. The Lord can and does use all these various methods of communicating the gospel in all kinds of different places, using all kinds of different people, with all kinds of different personalities. Up at Faith Academy, they have what they call an A for J program. All for Jesus program. It used to be the Awana program, and they've kind of assimilated some of the Awana things into it, but they've changed the name. It's All for Jesus program. The kids at Faith Academy have opportunity to be able to share the gospel with all these squatter kids that come up for the program. They have an average of about 300 kids that come every week, every Sunday morning, like about 8 o'clock in the morning. These kids get up at about 7 or so and get up there, put on a program for these kids, and it's been wonderful. Many of these children have asked Jesus Christ into their lives. And then the gospel gets into the home. And then you have an opportunity to visit the home and to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we don't know what the Lord is going to do and how He's going to use your efforts. But the thing is, are you making yourself available to use a method to be used by Christ in the sharing of the gospel? We've used outdoor movies in the Philippines. Outdoor movies have been an effective way to communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ. We've used indoor movies to communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ. We've been using all kinds of different methods to communicate the gospel of Christ. We'll put on an outdoor movie down in Pinafrancia or down on the basketball court somewhere. And I remember one time we put on a movie. We used the Jesus film. That's been used by the Lord greatly over the years. And about halfway through the movie, of course, we shut off the projector and we have a chance to share the gospel with them. We always do it in the middle, because if you do it at the end, people wander away before they... But they want to stay and see the end of the movie, so that you've got them at least for hearing the gospel as you present it. And we use Philippine evangelists to share. Oscar De Leon is a tremendous evangelist, and he's been used to share the gospel in Pinafrancia in the past. But we show the movies. We showed a movie down in Pinafrancia, and we estimated that we had 500 people sitting watching the movie on the curbs and in front of their homes. Tremendous opportunity for mass evangelism. And that's not a real threatening thing. So you just put on a movie and you sit back, and the gospel goes out. We've used basketball evangelism. World Harvest comes into the Philippines and uses basketball. Some of you may be basketball players and you enjoy basketball. It's a passion of your life. You love basketball. Well, use that passion for the Lord Jesus Christ. You can get in contact with people like Tom Randall from World Harvest, and come out to the Philippines and into different places in Asia and play basketball. Boy, what a way to share the gospel. You go out and you play basketball. And at halftime, you share the gospel of Jesus Christ. You play games against Barrio. The Filipinos love basketball. It's their national sport. It's not really the national sport, but it is the sport that they play more often than anything else. You get them out on the basketball court and you play their Barrio teams, you play their Barangay teams, and they love playing the Americans because we're so much taller than they are, and they love trying to beat us. And we've had guys, you know, who were drafted by the Los Angeles Lakers who have come out and played because they love the Lord. You come out and you play basketball halftime to hear the gospel. They're not going to go away because they want to see the second half of the game. And the gospel is proclaimed. Many have come to know the Lord through basketball evangelism. You see, there's all kinds of different ways to communicate the gospel. You have to be a little creative sometimes. But there's all kinds of ways to communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ. Recently, some of the assemblies in the Philippines have set up learning centers, which is really a pre-kindergarten kind of center.
And Kainta has one, and there's a few that are set up. Dave Harvey's been instrumental in seeing some of those things get underway. And these, again, have been tremendous tools in reaching these little kids for Christ. And also, they have programs. You always have to have programs. Filipinos love programs. They love parades. So you have a program, and all the parents come for the program. Guess what they hear? They hear about our Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done for them and how much he loves them. Wonderful opportunities for sharing the gospel. I know you do the same thing here. You have Awana clubs. Tremendously effective weapon to use in sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. You have children's clubs. You have youth groups. Effective ways to not only reach the children, but to reach into the homes. What a wonderful thing to be able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. All methods are simply tools. And our Lord Jesus Christ will use many different tools. And he did. When our Lord was here on earth, he used many different methods, didn't he? Many different tools. He did mass evangelism, didn't he? He did street preaching. He used illustrations and stories. He taught Bible study. He did personal evangelism. Our Lord was involved in all of those things. And that pattern continues when you get into the book of Acts. We all have the privilege of witnessing. And there are all kinds of ways. We may find a variety of ways that we feel comfortable in and find success in. But the underlying question for us this morning, seated here, the underlying question is, are we speaking a word for Christ? Regardless of the method that you feel comfortable with, are you speaking a word for Christ? Are you actively involved in sharing the gospel in one way or one form or another? Howard Hendricks once said, in the midst of a generation screaming for answers, Christians are stuttering. We live in a time when people need and are looking for the gospel. That's not to say that we should be hitting everybody over the head with our Bibles or shoving tracts under the noses of everyone you meet. But it does mean speaking a word for Christ. Whether you use the written form, whether you give them an Emmaus correspondence course, whether you're using the jail systems and getting in and speaking a word that way. The Emmaus work is a tremendous way in jails, isn't it? It's tremendous. And for those who are correcting the courses outside of the jail, it's giving them a ministry inside the jail without going in. And it's a tremendous opportunity. Are we recognizing our responsibility to a lost world? Are we speaking a word for Christ? Sometimes I guess we just get too comfortable where we are. In one of D.L. Moody's meetings, a man once testified to him that he had lived on the Mount of Transfiguration for 5 years. Of course, D.L. Moody said, how many souls did you lead to Christ last year? Well, the man hesitated, I don't know. Have you seen anyone saved? Well, I don't know that I have, the man finally answered. Well, said Moody, we don't want that kind of mountaintop experience. When a man gets up so high that he can't reach down and save poor sinners, there's something wrong. Are we actively involved as the Lord gives opportunity to speak a word for Christ? Are we ready to speak a word for him? Christ met people where they were. Those who harvest must be out in the field. We cannot wait for the unharvested crop to be brought in. You cannot harvest, plant, water, or sow seed unless you enter the field. In the gospel we have recorded for us 132 contacts of Jesus with people. 6 times in the temple.
4 times in the synagogue, 122 out with the people in the mainstream of life.
Are you in the mainstream of life? Speaking a word for the Savior. I heard a brother a couple of years ago at Emmaus in a conference that we were sharing together there. He said this. He said, in the past we used to say we are in the world but not of it. Now it seems like we're of the world and no longer in it. May it not be true. May we be speaking a word for Christ. And I'd like to ask, I think our time is over, because since I hear other groups breaking up, I'd like to ask a couple of the gentlemen here, please, if you would just close us in a word of prayer, remembering to pray for the Emmaus correspondence work around the world, and also that we would be challenged to take our part in sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Please, one or two of you, and don't be shy.